The Great Confusion. Compilation of prophecies to the children of David on this subject. By the Audio Key Team. Jesus said, "The Great Confusion is the emergency the Antichrist needs to have his regime put into power." Dad wrote, "God has been so good to us to tell us in his word and even fill in some of the gaps in present prophecy to show us exactly what's going to happen so we won't be worried about it, or frightened, surprised, or shocked when it happens." He said in one of the great prophecies which we received through my mother, the warning prophecy, that there is going to be a mighty widening of the eyes of those who discern not the signs of the times. There's going to be an awful lot of people absolutely stunned, shocked, astonished, eyes wide with amazement and fear when it happens. The great confusion, obviously the greatest of all confusions. Dad continues, "In the spring of 1965, my mother received the now famous warning prophecy of the Great Confusion and its author, which were to arise out of Egypt. 'Turn your eyes toward Memphis, for out of it shall come the Great Confusion.' The author of confusion is even now marshaling his forces for this Great Confusion. He is gathering his forces from a great nation and eastern nations, friends that will join with him. So sudden will be the great confusion that it will cause a mighty widening of the eyes of those who have not discerned the signs of the times. But be not deceived. Be prepared, and be not deceived by the great society, for it will come to travail and then bring forth the great confusion. Be prepared. Even now the skies are red, red with warning, and black, black with clouds gathering for the great confusion, which is almost upon you." Dad continues, "The warning prophecy is as valid now as when it was given via grandmother, and it's an even more intense warning now. For these things will surely come to pass. Although many years have passed, this prophecy is still the cornerstone what lies ahead from your perspective." Jesus speaks, "Learn the truth, my children, that you be not overtaken as if by a thief in the night. For I say to you that the Antichrist has come and does reign even now. And though the revelation of a man incarnate will be revealed in time, know that the spirit of Antichrist reigns even now and is flooding the earth as the waters cover the seas. My children, open your eyes and discern the signs of the times, that the skies are red, red with warning, and black, black with clouds. And lo, the great confusion is even upon the inhabitants of the earth. Are the masses not confused and torn and tattered and blown about? Are not men's minds scrambled and cluttered with complexities and confusion? Do not the waves of the seas roar with the crashing sounds of thunder? Has not the love of many waxed cold, and is not the earth filled with evil men and seducers, waxing worse and worse on every side? Yeah, for I say, the great confusion is upon the peoples of the earth. It has begun and continues to gain momentum day by day. Confusion, murkiness, distortions, and atrocities are on every side. Polluted waters and troubled seas do cover the earth. Satan is loosed and brings with him great confusion. He walks about as a roaring lion and as a wolf in sheep's clothing, seeking to devour and destroy those in his path, those who are weak, those who would fall for his chicanery, those who choose to yield to the pride of life. He seeks to disrupt and destroy, for in destruction lies his power. He lures and persuades with subtleties and seeming pleasures, delightful to the eye, appealing to the taste, soothing to the ears of those who would prefer to live in a strong delusion. He uses the deceitfulness of science, falsely so called, and the wizardry of modern technology to control the masses. He invents and schemes with his false images transmitted throughout the earth. He tries hard to gain ground and offers these delights to those who would serve him." Dad speaking, "The end time is here, bringing with it all the many details we've talked about for years, things that the Lord predicted in his word thousands of years ago, for that matter. the rise of the Antichrist, the crash, the wars, with nation rising against nation, and the covenant and the temple. I taught you about these things in class after class and letter after letter, and now we've reached that time, the period that grandmother called the Great Confusion. Of course, when I was there on earth, I thought this time was going to hit sooner. But since coming here, I've seen how many factors were involved and connected, and how certain events were held up, which held up others. Now don't go running off proclaiming the Great Tribulation is beginning tomorrow, or the last 7 years. That's not what the Lord said, nor what I'm saying. We're talking about the Great Confusion. Like I told you years ago, the U.S. has slowly been sinking for a long time. Its economy has made little comebacks, but after each rise, they sink further than they come back to. And it's about to take a dive like you've never seen before. It's going to pull down a lot more than just itself and a few neighbors. We're about to see some very significant personages come to the scene and definite movements as the end comes closer. It's not that it hasn't been moving, but it's like watching a car coming toward you. From a distance, it looks like the car isn't even moving. Then once it reaches a certain point, you are able to see the movement. The closer it gets, the more aware of its speed you become. We've been watching this one coming for a long time, and some people have gotten bored and walked away, deciding it wasn't really moving after all. But we're at the point where the movement is going to be seen more clearly, and it won't be long till you see it racing right at you at great speed. Jesus speaks. All these events, financial crashes, emergencies, plagues, wars, the winds of the air, the rains from the heavens, the warm currents of the sea, are pointing one way, for these are the signs of the times, the signs of the end. Have I not spoken and have I not been preparing you, lo, these many years for this day? For the end must needs come. Therefore watch and pray and lend a listening ear, for this is the day that all the prophets have dreamed of. Watch and pray, my children, and make ready, for a day of harvest is come. Him that will discern, let him discern. The sands of time are falling. The hourglass is running. The stage is set. The curtain is soon to go up as the next scene is about to begin. And the wicked one is about to be revealed. His stagehands are setting the props in place. They are adjusting the lights and setting the stage as the wicked one prepares backstage. He is in the dressing room and the final touches are being made on his makeup. He's putting on his cloak for his premiere performance, soon to begin on stage. He's testing his marionettes and making them ready, testing their strings, adjusting their wires, lubricating their joints and limbs so that they will move with ease and in harmony and in synchronization for the final dance. Some of the marionettes have been in the hands of the puppeteer for a long time and are more tried and proven. All their parts move freely about in response to the touch of the puppeteer's own hand. Then the puppeteer is lining up those who have been added to his collections more recently. He's moving them about, manipulating them up and down, back and forth and all around, testing them. He's pulling on the strings, attaching them firmly to his handpiece so that they will move in sync with all the other marionettes. Satan laughs and smirks with glee as he maneuvers his marionettes as pawns in his hands. He leads them in the dance as they jump and leap according to his commands and his gestures at the flick of his fingers and the twist of his wrist. You ask why these events are happening, the crash in Asia and the repercussions felt around the world? This show of power is to accomplish many purposes. It is perpetrated by the wicked one, who is as the evil puppeteer demonstrating how his marionettes dance at his will and according to the movement of his hand. At the same time, the wicked one is attempting to teach his marionettes a lesson. Using Asia as an example, he's demonstrating what will happen if the marionettes should try to break loose from his control. It's a strong signal and a reminder to the marionettes that if they don't want to end up in a tangled mess, they must stay in line. Else they get tangled and risk total collapse, since their joints and limbs are no longer being held up by the strings that are firmly attached to the puppeteer. I tell you this parable, my children. The powers that be, the nations of the world, are as marionettes in the hand of the evil puppeteer. They are being manipulated at the touch of his finger and the twist of his wrist, as he is lining them up for the final show. Oftentimes, when the marionettes dance, they think they are free. As they leap from side to side and tap their feet in tune to the music, they forget that they are attached to the puppeteer by invisible strings. It's not until the puppeteer finds it necessary to give the marionette a strong tug in a certain direction that the marionette is reminded who's really in control. Though the marionette appears to be footloose and fancy-free, as long as its strings are attached firmly to the handpiece of the puppeteer, the marionette cannot move about without the touch of the puppeteer's hand, which jerks into submission. The wicked one has caused the turmoil in Asia, in part to punish those who would try to kick and buck against his control. It's a demonstration of his power to the nations, that should they try to kick and break free from his manipulation, it will only result in instability, and they will soon find themselves in a tangled state and at the risk of plunging to the ground in total collapse, just as the marionette would try to cut his ties. Therefore, this move in Asia is in part a demonstration to the nations, a warning that they'd better line up and stay firmly attached to the strings and the wires of the puppeteer who will support them and move them, else they collapse. Pray for those who do not want to be tied to the puppeteer. Pray for their strength, for their conviction, for their enlightenment, that they might turn to me. For I am their only hope of salvation and true freedom. Only I am able to fully free them so that they may be free of the puppeteer's control. The wicked one has deceived the nations into thinking that if they cut their strings to him, they will fall in total collapse. The bright light of the theater are being carefully run by the stage crew as they cast a glare on the eyes of the marionettes, blinding them to my lifeline that hangs over center stage. Only by grabbing a hold of my lifeline can the marionettes find escape from their ties to the evil puppeteer. Through selfish lust and the deceitfulness of riches, the marionettes grow dependent on the strings of the puppeteer. But should they decide to cut their strings to break loose from the control and manipulation of the dark puppeteer, my lifeline remains steady and firm, reaching out to hold them and support them so that they will not stumble and totter and crumble in ruin. Pray for these that through the storm they may find hope in time of need, that they might find my lifeline of survival through faith and trust in me. Pray for those who are sincerely seeking that though the bright lights cast a glare, their eyes might focus on my lifeline, that they may find freedom from the puppeteer's wiring system. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall have life. I am that lifeline, and as people or nations grasp a hold of me, I am able to free them to the extent that they let me. For those who receive me, I am able to free them from death and hell, giving them eternal freedom. For those who seek me, I am able to answer their prayers and supply their requests. For those who yield themselves to me fully, I am able to free them in every way. Where my spirit dwells fully, there is full liberty indeed. Not many nations will receive me fully, but as they and their leaders receive you, they also receive me, and I am able to protect and help them. Or as they provide refuge to my children, though they be not of the same faith, then I am able to give these nations refuge from the storm the evil one will bring upon the earth. All will be affected by this storm. But like a lifesaver in the stormy sea, I preserve those who take refuge in me. As long as they cling tightly to me, they will not sink. Though the waves may be rough about them and the winds howl, they will not sink or come to ruin. I say to you, my children, that there is yet another purpose in these events. These things must come to pass, for the end is nigh. The stage is being set for the grand premiere and the revelation of the Wicked One, who is the author of this great confusion and the chaos that has rocked the nations. The crashing markets, the great plunge, the great rebound, the highs and the lows are all being carefully manipulated by his hand, as he sets the marionettes in line for the final dance. It's all a part of setting the stage for the grand entrance of the Wicked One. As these ripples rock the nations and the domino effect takes place, each piece falls in line, all pointing in one direction, to applaud and hail and accept the one who will bring order out of all this chaos, the One World Leader. The crash and fluctuating markets are a call to awaken the nations. Through these jolts and shocks, the turmoil and instability that is created will drive the crowds to cheer and beg for the puppeteer to wield his magic wand, causing all the marionettes to dance and move in harmony. Through these events, the Wicked One is setting the stage for his entrance. With these swift moves and jerks, he is convincing the world of the need for a savior, someone who can save the day, someone who knows how to keep the strings in order and how to flick his fingers and twist his wrist so that all may appear to keep on dancing free of entanglements, falls and crashes. The Wicked One is marshalling his forces. His entrance is being heralded as the world looks on, as they see in living color the reality of the global economy that has been in operation behind the scenes. The Wicked One is demonstrating that it is not a myth. He's demonstrating some of his inner workings as he brings to the attention of the people that there is indeed a need for the puppeteer. He's partially unveiling his system of strings and wires and demonstrating how only with the aid of the puppeteer will all the marionettes be able to move in sync so that they may keep dancing free from tangles and falls. Through this touch of chaos, the Wicked One is motivating the crowds to call for the curtain to go up. As the inner workings are revealed and the magnitude of global communications are being realized, the reality of interconnections and link-ups and cross-investments demonstrate to the nations that there is a need for someone to man the controls, a need for leadership, someone with the skill of the puppeteer to keep everything moving in harmony to the rhythm of the music. Someone who can rescue them from further turmoil, which they desperately want to avoid at all costs. Through fear of further impending chaos, the nations will be brought to their knees in a desperate plea for one who can keep everything moving and flowing, lest they become tangled and grind to a complete halt. Marvel not at the great rebound of a mighty nation, the US, and be not fooled by a false sense of security, for what is seen is only temporary. For those who lurk behind the scenes, those who sit in high places, know in their hearts the meaning of this apparent quick comeback, that it is only for a time. For this was only a show of force of the Wicked One, a demonstration to those in high standing of who is really the boss. Even the big money boys are as pawns in the hands of a puppeteer. This great fluctuation serves as a reminder to all that the puppeteer alone holds the controls. The puppeteer's total power works by fear. The purpose of the great plunge and the mighty rebound of the great nation was to strike fear into the hearts of those who sit in high places, else they be lifted up beyond reason. In these days of extremities, as the pendulum swings from extreme low to extreme high, the puppeteer sends a strong signal that it is indeed he who holds the bag and manipulates the strings, and all must yield to his gestures and signals, else they will be tangled up and put out of commission. Let him who will hear listen, for there be those mighty men in the world who will lead the way. These are they who do prepare the way and set the stage, so that the Wicked One might take center stage, and they do lead the way in the applause. Though they appear mighty and powerful in the eyes of the world, they too, through the deceitfulness of riches and the motivation of fear, are moved to applaud the entrance of the one who will be worshipped by all the world. These who sit in high places, the big money boys and magistrates alike, are being warned as the pendulum swings that it is indeed out of their control. They are being reminded that there is a need for the puppeteer to wield his magic wand to bring order out of chaos, else they too will collapse. These days of extreme swings serve their purpose and motivate these who sit in high places. These events serve as a cue, a signal to man their stations, curtain time, for the scene is about to begin, and all the world will worship the Wicked One for a time, as they marvel at his agility and his ability to keep the marionettes moving and flowing and dancing in apparent sync and coordination. I say to you, my children, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid, for to you it is given to work great signs and wonders in the coming days. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for these are the days which all the prophets that have gone before you have dreamed of. I set before you a great and mighty harvest. Therefore, watch and pray, and know that I go before you to lead and to guide and to see you safely through emergencies and crashes and economic wars. I will be your peace and your strength. I will be your strong tower, and nothing will by any means hurt or harm you. As I have promised, so will I also perform my promise. I will take care of my own. And in these days I hold you up as a beacon, a light shining forth in great darkness for all the world to see. Although all the world will wonder after the beast, all the world will marvel at the awesome power, strength, and mighty works that I will perform through you, my mighty bulwarks of faith in these last days of the end. Fret not yourselves for tomorrow, but work my works today, and know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see great natural disasters now, but they are not natural, my children. They are supernatural, things which I allow the enemy to enact as a judgment upon the wicked and as a release for the innocent, that they may be gathered unto me and escape the suffering which they face in this world. These are but a small sample of things to come, when I will shake the earth, and in the end even the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So be prepared, for the events to come will come upon you suddenly. Sudden will be the appearance of the evil one, that wicked one who does exalt himself above all that is godly or that is called God. Sudden will be the great confusion. Suddenly will destruction come upon the wicked, and judgment upon the unrighteous, and those who oppress the poor and needy of this world. You do well to study the signs of the times and gather the clues to things which will yet come upon the earth and upon mankind. But be not fearful for the days which come. These things must needs be fulfilled before the end comes and the glorious dawn of a new day, when the Sun of Righteousness will shine forevermore. I will protect and keep my children during this time. Though some shall fall by the sword or by fire, they will fall into my arms, where they will be safe and protected from the blast of the terrible ones that will sweep across the face of the earth in these latter days. So fret not, neither be dismayed, when you see these things coming to pass. For I, the Lord, am mighty to save, mighty to shelter, mighty to provide, as I do care for my little sparrows, and not one falls to the ground, but that I know about it. So do I care for you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. My love for you cannot be measured, and my thoughts towards you are those of goodness, mercy, and peace. So be confident in my care and bold in proclaiming my message. Jesus continues, the family has weathered a time of severe worldwide persecution, which has been followed by several years of peace. Now it's time to prepare for another onslaught, not of persecution, but of famine, plagues, civil disorder, and the breakdown of community services, which will affect the whole world. My promises stand as strong as ever for my children. I will protect and provide and deliver you. Though I have my plan and things will happen as I have said they will, even the enemy has a degree of choice with which to make his plans. So he is setting the stage, and if the conditions are right, if the world is in enough chaos, if things get bad enough that they need a savior, then he will arise. He is behind the scenes, creating confusion, so that he will be able to step forth and assume power to save the world for a time. Even this is within my will, for he but sets the stage for my return, as I foretold in my word. The devil has a measure of choice within certain bounds, much like the illustration your father David gave of the tunnel of my will. There is a set time period for the end, and it will come within the time that I have determined and set. For I have set these times, and no man nor spirit may gainsay or change these things. But within this time frame within this tunnel, the evil one is permitted a certain amount of leeway, for I have allowed him this choice. He has the power of choice, even as you have the power of choice. He may choose to work his evil works now, or may withhold a little until later, just as you may move from one side to the other within the tunnel of my will. The enemy of your souls has much less choice than you do, however, for I have set much greater bounds upon him. He may only move slightly from one way to the other. He cannot turn around and escape my will and that which I have planned and predicted in my word. That which is to be shall be, whether it be soon or a little less soon. In either case, the time is nigh. I have set the boundaries of the end time, the last 7 years, the 2 3.5-year periods, and have numbered the days within them. I have also set them within the general boundaries of time itself, and they will occur within that time frame. Whether they be soon or they be delayed a little, but I give the evil one a certain amount of leeway in when he may begin this period. He knows that once these days are begun, then the day of his end is determined, the day of my return is determined, and his choice has ended. So he seeks to maximize his chance to defeat my plan by beginning it at the time when he imagines it will be most opportune for him. I allow this to show both him and the world that my plan will not be defeated. Though the enemy goes to great lengths to defeat me in these days, I will not be defeated, nor will my plan be altered. As always, he but accomplishes my will in creating the conditions for my return. He stirs up trouble which drives my children ever closer to me, and also works in the hearts of the unbelievers to cause them to want to seek me, to find me as their refuge from the storm. And in the latter part of his reign on earth, when he declares himself God, he forces all men to make a decision. Will they reject him and receive me, or receive him and reject me? In all these things he but does my will, and as you would say on earth, he cannot win for losing. Jesus continues, the enemy is the propagator of fear. In the end, fear is what will bring this proud world to its knees. As the material goods and so-called government security that people so love grow wings and begin to fly out of their lives, it is then that the world will represent a drowning man willing to give up his very freedom if only someone will save his life. In that same hour, the world seeking to save its life shall lose it. All shall work together to bring about the great confusion spoken of in my word. Modern society is not prepared for this kind of crisis, for they have removed me from their schools, replacing me and my word and ways with that of materialism, evolution, and many other things that are contrary to godliness. They have removed me from their lifestyles, for never before has there been such a striving for wealth and success, a focus on pleasure and self-satisfaction, such a selfishness permeating every corner of society. In doing these things, they are setting themselves up in a house built on sand. When the storms come and the rain falls, this house will wash away. There will be a massive breakdown of the most basic moral codes that man has lived by for ages. Even those who will strive to have some kind of moral standard will be swallowed up by the vast majority of people who only care for their own skin. There are many who see these dark clouds on the horizon and sense the danger, yet do not know what to do. As the noose tightens slowly but steadily about the world's neck, I call my children everywhere to preach the good news of one who can save them from the torment of mind and from their enslavement to the god mammon. For in the dark days that are soon coming, the only safe dwelling place will be under the shadow of my wings. For I am a rock and a fortress to those who fear my name, and I will always care for my own.